getting to where I can use my wristwatch as a fan. Kind of those hands keep moving so fast, you know, to cool me down. Wow, the time is moving. But it is a new year's. As I was contemplating a title for a new year's sermon, that's what I wound up with, a new year's sermon. And I thought, what better passage could I think of to go to on New Year's as we think about priorities than Matthew chapter 6. Earlier in the service, Brother Craig read for us the 25th through the 34th verses. And there Jesus speaks about worry and anxiety and priority. And a sermon within a sermon for us is, what did Jesus really say worry is like or anxiety is like? Well, if you look at those verses, Matthew 6, 25 through 34, you'll note, first of all, that Jesus teaches us that worry is irreverent, isn't it? You see, worry is failing to believe that God is in control, that God is the one who is giving us life right now, and he is the one who is sustaining it all. So, it's irreverent. But worry is also irrelevant. Does worry change anything? Does it help you cope with anything? No. Worry doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. And then there's another one. Worry is also irresponsible. Because worry just causes you to burn up energy and resources that could be used constructively to address the problem. We know this passage. We know how Jesus used the birds of the air to illustrate the freedom from anxiety. He used the lilies, the flowers of the field, to illustrate the freedom from seeking status for yourself. He used the grass of the field to illustrate the need to assess our priorities in life because life is short. And then he went on in verse 27 to say, you know what? Worry's not going to add anything to your life. And in fact, worry can take away from your life. There's a story about a reporter that was covering a disaster in a coal mine deep in the hills of West Virginia. And as the local reporter began to write the story, he began with this line: God looked at the grief today in this little West Virginia mining town, and he wept. When he emailed the story in to his managing editor, his manager emailed him very quickly back and said, forget the disaster in the coal mine, interview God, if you've been speaking with him. Well, obviously, there's no way that that reporter knew what God was doing at that moment. But it does speak to this. We all need to have a personal interview with God. We all need to get to know God in a personal way as the greatest priority in our lives. Think back at 2015. Did everything go smoothly? Some things did. But there were also some disasters, weren't there? But 2015 is gone, and what that means is that we will all meet Jesus a little sooner than we thought we would have in 2015. We all need to understand how quickly life goes by, and we all need to have that focus on eternity that teaches us how to have right priorities. It was James that tells us in James 4:14, basically, that life is here today and gone tomorrow. So what are the priorities in your life for 2016? Are you going to take full advantage of the opportunities that God is going to present to you? The lesson, the verse that we want to focus on today, though, is Matthew 6:33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When Jesus said, seek first, He is revealing His concern for the priorities of your life. He is commanding you and me that our first priority be His kingdom and His righteousness. Oh, it's easy to make the kingdom of God and His righteousness a priority when we're in church on Sunday, right? But it becomes much more challenging when we leave here and we go out on Monday to our job or to school. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, be a Christian everywhere you go. Be a follower of God. And not just a follower, be a good follower, one who seeks the kingdom first. Well, in this text that many of us know by heart, I want us to walk down the path together. And as we walk down the path of this text, there are 6 points, 6 scenic views, 6 questions that I think we would do well to ponder. Think about as we approach 2016. The first question I want us to look at is what is my occupation? What's my focus? Jesus focuses on 3 priorities that everybody seems to focus on: shelter, clothing, and food, right? He doesn't say they're not important. They are. They loom large in all of our lives. We spend a great deal of our lives at work seeking to provide shelter, clothing, and food for ourselves and our families. Truth be told, most of us spend more time right here on these priorities in our lives than anything else. So in that sense, how are we any different from people who don't know Christ? For they also focus on those things. The difference is, as we seek them and work for those things as followers of Jesus, the difference between us and those who don't know Christ is that these should not be points of anxiety for us. They should not be points of worry for us. Because God has promised that as we seek His kingdom first, He's going to take care of all of that other stuff, that we don't have to fret about it. The second question is, what are my options? What are the choices that I have to make? You see, in our text, Jesus, He indicated that there are 2 priority options or directions for your life that you can focus on. You can be like most people who focus on things. That's the goal. Or, second, your only other choice is to focus first the kingdom and righteousness of God. I think sadly, though, most of us in Christ, including myself at times, are guilty of worrying more about the first option of things rather than concentrating on the second option, His kingdom and His righteousness. And Jesus is saying, hey, stop and examine your life. What are you spending the most time? What's getting the most attention in your life? Do you think that spiritual matters will just take care of themselves and we don't have to worry about it? We don't have to focus. No. The things that should concern us are spiritual first. That brings us to the third question. What are my objectives? What are my goals? We could be like those without Christ and go after those other things. I could choose to put my energy into providing for myself. I could make sure that I get the promotions at work to have a better house to live in. I can make sure I have the finest food. I can make sure I'm wearing the best clothing. But if you seek those things, I want you to remember what Jesus said earlier in this chapter in Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so if those are the things that capture the value of life for you, the things that you treasure, guess where your heart's going to be? It's going to be on those things. Jesus said, treasure something different. Treasure God's kingdom and His righteousness. And then that's where your heart will be at. You see, the Christian's priority is twofold, Jesus said. It's God's kingdom first, and then God's righteousness. Think about the kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? Is it some mystical thing that's going to come one day? Well, in a sense, the fulfillment of the kingdom of God will come one day. But remember what Jesus and John the Baptist said. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's here now. It has come. That place in your life where you allow Jesus to rule and reign, that is the kingdom of God within you. And Jesus is seeking to be king over all your life. So, seeking the kingdom of God is losing yourself in obedience to Christ. To seek the kingdom of God is to pour your life out in the eternal work of our Heavenly Father. And then secondly, as a Christian, our second part of this twofold option that we have is to seek His righteousness. Well, what's righteousness? Righteousness is that which is in accord with the character of Christ or being Christ-like. Instead of hungering after the things of this world and longing after the things of this world, we ought to be hungry and longing for the things of the world to come, the things that God has promised. When we do that, we understand what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 when he says that in the Holy Spirit we have this peace and we have this love and joy. To seek righteousness is not only to seek it for ourselves, but to desire to see the righteousness of God in the lives of other people too. So we will seek to share the gospel of the kingdom with the lost so that they might be saved. And we'll have this heart like we find in 2 Peter 3:11 where Peter wrote of this world, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, talking about fire, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of the Lord? That's the third question. What are my objectives? What are my goals? My direction? There's a fourth question that we have to stop and ponder along this path of Matthew 6:25-34. What is my order? What's my priority? What's the order of things in my life? Let me share with you something that these verses do not teach. I don't want you to miss this. This verse does not teach that pursuing things is wrong. It does not teach that. Okay? It's not wrong to go after other things. Now, I'm not going into this health and wealth gospel mess. But is it okay for you to have a warm house to sleep in while there are some folks in the world that don't? Yes, it is. Okay? It's okay to have those things as long as those things aren't the most important thing in your life. Okay? All right? There is a difference between being anxious about these things, making these things a priority in your life, or being obsessed with them. When Jesus says, seek first, you understand that there are then other priorities in your life as well. Okay? He didn't say seek only, he said seek first. And that's a difference. But a lot of people read this verse and they read seek only instead of seek first. Okay? Jesus is saying there are priorities of things. And just make sure that you master your stuff rather than your stuff mastering you. So how do we make sure that we master our stuff instead of our stuff mastering us? That brings us to question number 5. How do I obtain? How do I get what I have? Well, there are 2 ways of getting things. The first way is the way most people get things, is you make them the object of your life and you struggle and you fight and you claw and you grasp to get a hold of them. That's what most people do, isn't it? But there's a second way, a better way. What is it? Anybody know? It's to have them added to you. You see it in the verse? I've never sought after a house. I've never sought after clothing. I've never really sought after food. But I have those things. Why? Because they were added to me. Because God took care of me. If you go to Burney, Texas, there's a cavern there. It's not very impressive at all. It's called A Cave Without a Name. That's the name of it, A Cave Without a Name. They couldn't come up with a name, kind of like the sermon, the New Year sermon. They couldn't come up with a decent name, so they just called it A Cave Without a Name. That's what it says on the sign. And you go, and you tour that cavern like so many of them around. And the most interesting part of the tour of A Cave Without a Name in Burney, Texas, is that there is a place in the cavern where there was what had been the largest room underground, but the limestone ceiling above had collapsed. And there's all the rubble in the bottom where the limestone collapsed. So you're walking in this cavern, all of a sudden you walk into this room and you look up and there's a big round hole and there's the sky way up there above you. It's kind of like looking through a telescope lens because you just see the sky up there. Very strange. But over the centuries and eons and thousands of years, since that roof collapsed, various things fell in the hole below. And so anthropologists and archaeologists found all kinds of interesting things that people, like trash in the 1800s, the first settlers would throw in the hole, and they started clearing out rubble and clearing out rubble, and they got down to like 1,000 years ago, where they found the bones of a saber-toothed tiger had fallen in the hole. And it died when it hit the bottom. But the curious thing about it was they looked at how the skeleton landed, and its jawbone, bottom jawbone, was split right there. And they realized that while it fell hundreds and hundreds of feet to its death, it was still a cat, and it landed on its feet. Okay? Christians, in life, you may fall, and you think you're going to die. But Christian, you're like a cat if you're in Jesus. No matter how far you fall, you will land on your feet. God will make sure that He'll take care of you as you seek His kingdom and His righteousness. So obtain things by having them added to you as you just seek God and let Him take care of the rest. You'll land on your feet. And that brings us to the sixth question. What is my daily operation? Now, this is a word for the spiritually wise. Don't expect God's blessing on your life if He's not first in your life. All right? I get amazed. I have people come to me and say, "My life is in a wreck. God must not love me because He's not blessing me, and life is just a disaster." And so one of the first questions I said, "Well, tell me about your walk with the Lord." "Oh, I hadn't served the Lord in years and years and years." And then my next statement is usually, "Well, then are you surprised that your life is a wreck?" What's your priority? What's your daily operation? How do you solve worry and anxiety? Do you see that concentrating on doing God's will is the positive answer to worry and anxiety? You want to get rid of worry and anxiety out of your life? Just make it your daily priority. Today, I'm going to seek God, His kingdom and His righteousness. And as I'm doing that, whatever comes my way this day, I know that is His plan. I'm going to trust Him in it. And like a cat, I'm going to land on my feet, and it's going to be okay. But if you are not going to make that your priority, don't go, "God, why aren't you blessing me? God, why aren't you..." Weigh your decisions. What are you putting first? Do you want to follow the Lord Jesus, seek His kingdom and His righteousness, or are you in this life only wanting comfort, protection, and as far as Jesus goes, all you want is fire insurance? That's the difference. Two simple rules govern life, folks, whether it's this year or any other year that God gives us. Number one, set your eyes on the things that of God's kingdom and advance it in His righteousness. And number two, let the Heavenly Father keep His promises regarding the rest of life. Just rest in Him. Many years ago, Dr. W. A. Criswell, a name that if you've been a Southern Baptist for a long time, that's a name you'll recognize if you haven't been one or don't know the name, haven't been around for a long time. W. A. Criswell is a legendary pastor for over 50 years of First Baptist Dallas a number of decades ago. At the time, First Baptist Dallas was the largest Southern Baptist church in the world. Well, Dr. Criswell was often asked to preach and speak at other churches, and so many, many years ago, he was asked to come preach at North Shore Baptist Church in Chicago. This is an American Baptist congregation. And there was a deacon at the North Shore Baptist Church who was fairly well known in that day. And Dr. Criswell was staying in this man's home. This man had a pretty nice home to live in. You might have heard the name James L. Kraft, K-R-A-F-T. He was a deacon at North Shore Baptist Church in Chicago. He was also their Sunday school director and founder of Kraft Foods Incorporated. Dr. Criswell tells the story of staying in the home of J.L. Kraft and getting the testimony of Kraft and Kraft Foods. And Criswell recounts that James L. Kraft said that as a young man, that he had a desire to be the most famous and most successful salesman of cheese in all the world. He was going to be rich, he was going to be famous, because he was going to sell cheese to everybody in the United States. And so as a teenager, he began making cheese on their farm outside Chicago and then loading it in his little wagon that he had that was pulled by his faithful horse named Patty. And they would go into Chicago and sell cheese, and everybody would love his cheese, and he would become rich and famous. So his plan was working as far as making the cheese on the farm, loading it in the wagon. But he would go into Chicago every day, and he would work hours and hours and hours. He would literally wear the soles off his feet, selling cheese door to door. And he sold his cheese. But after a year or so, he realized he wasn't making any money. He wasn't getting ahead. His dreams weren't coming true. And so one day, Kraft told the story to W.A. Criswell. One day, he pulled his horse to a stop, and he said, and I sat down in front of my horse, and I just started talking to my horse. Patty looked at me like I was crazy, and Kraft said, quote, Patty, there is something wrong. We are not doing it right. I am afraid we have things turned around. Our priorities are not where they ought to be. Maybe we ought to serve God and place Him first in our lives. Kraft then drove Patty home, made a covenant that for the rest of his life, that first he would serve God and would do as God directed. Did Kraft ever become anything? You've ever been to the Green Lake Conference Center? And all those amazing things, and that's an American Baptist Conference Center up there, if you've ever been up there in Green Lake, Wisconsin. It's an amazing thing, and that was all donated, all that, the money that J.L. Kraft gave to the Lord as he sought the Lord. But here's what I want you to remember the most. If you leave here thinking, if I make Christ first in my life, that I'm going to be rich and fat like James L. Kraft, and I'm going to have this big business in my life, you are not listening to what I'm saying. That is not what I'm saying. You may be as poor as Job's turkey. But listen to what James L. Kraft said to W. A. Criswell at the end of his testimony, "I would rather be a layman in the North Shore Baptist Church than to head the greatest corporation in America. My first job is serving Jesus." How about you? What is the first priority of your day? What's the first priority of your life? How about that for 2016? 2016. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let's all stand. Stand.